Good evening. So I'm Pastor Bailey Norman, and we live in Marlborough, Massachusetts. Yeah, we just moved up there. If I haven't seen you in a few months, that's why. All right, we're okay. Keep the prayers up, but maybe you could just change the tone of them a little bit. No, but we're up in Marlborough. Jess is here. Where's Jess? There she is. Jess is here. She's amazing. We moved up to Mass, and she said, you know, I don't think I'm really going to dive into anything and, you know, just take care of the kids and the house. But instead, she took over the nursery, and she's leading the women's ministry. So she's doing great, and we're so happy up there. We're having a good time. So God's faithful. He's taking care of us, and yeah. That's all. What else can we say? Right? Lord, bless this word and this time together in your name. Amen. His pulpit is tall. Pastor Morrison is short. So his pulpit was short. I feel like a little kid right now. But yeah, greetings from Marlborough. We have a great church there, a great body, great group of pastors and believers. And it's amazing that we have a place where we get together to worship Christ. That we just, it's amazing. Like Sunday morning, we open up the doors, and the other day, I was just so excited that we were getting together for that reason. That Christ has a purpose on this earth, and that we're here to be a part of it. And we can worship him. It's amazing. We're free to do that. But I just want to share a thought. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation. And that word dissimulation is hypocrisy or like a bad acting job. Right? Has anybody ever seen a bad movie? Yep. You know what bad acting is, right? Not persuading, not genuine, not convincing, right? You can look at the guy, if you're in the military and you watch a military movie and you can see the gear that they have, you can just pick them apart, you know, say that's not real, right? Whatever it is. Or if you're watching a TV commercial as a contractor or a carpenter, watching a guy like fix a pipe, right? And he's just kind of turning a wrench in the air. You're like, it doesn't mean anything, right? That's fake. But we're told, Paul says, let love be without dissimulation. And I think like in this world where we're walking, where we're living, there isn't really a good representation of love. That there is no, it's all bad acting, right? It's all based on something measurable, something that you can graph or chart or manage, right, corral, that our lives, our relationships, everything is based on something that we can gain, something we can give, right, as long as we come out on top, right, as long as it's a good deal for us. And that that is the quality of love that in the flesh we're used to, and we've learned to live with, and we've been limited to. But we've come to faith in Christ, we've been redeemed. And now, we're spiritual, right? Like Christ's conversation with Nicodemus in John 3 was, that which is flesh, right? That's what it's going to be. You can't really change it very much, right? Put the suit on the chimpanzee, give him a tuxedo and a briefcase, but don't expect him to do anything productive with it, right? That is not where Christ has put us, and that's not what he's asked of us. He didn't come down here. He didn't give everything he was to just give us, make us feel better about ourselves or give us a good image of ourselves. But he came down here to actually satisfy us and to give us an understanding of what we are and something that we can grab onto and to give us like a true representation of love and what it's able to do. And how it doesn't ask anything in return, and it just pours it out. And that is what Christ has shown us. And it says, 2 Peter 3:18 says that we should grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right? Those two things, they're not measurable, are they? How can we put that? How can we make a growth chart for growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Right? How can we map it out? How can we time the stops and expect what's coming and know where we're going to be? We can't. But we're not called to be in a program. We're not called to follow a growth chart. But we're called to a mystery. And the mystery is that we are loved. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Right? Isn't that amazing? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts that by the Holy Spirit. That Christ has redeemed us, he's bought us back, and he's put something inside of us that is revealing Christ to us over and over again. We've been given a gift in Christ. Now, is that gift something that we unpack? My daughter had a birthday party the other day, 5-year-old birthday party. It was fast and furious, right? We started them off with a pinata, candy, then the cake, then we went to cupcakes, and then I think that someone got fruit snacks in there too. It was just like a whirlwind, right? So she opens her presents, and there they are, right? There's the Barbie. We see everything that the Barbie could be. Right? There it is. It's opened. But we have been given a gift that is Christ, and that the Holy Spirit has come into our heart, and he is constantly filling us and overflowing through us with this salvation. That as we walk along by faith, as we walk along in a mystery, our salvation is like unpacked. And more and more and more and more we see who Christ is. And he leads us in a mystery. Right? So that we're not in this program where we say, okay, week 10, got to be here, should be down to this, doing this, being this, right? No. But we're led in a mystery to grow in grace and knowledge, like unmeasurable things, but then what's the result? We're actually satisfied. We're actually fulfilled. Right? We come to an understanding of who we are, what we're doing, and why we're here. That through the mystery, we're satisfied, and through the program, we can be frustrated and empty. Right? I'm following the growth chart. What's going on? Oh, you're missing the mystery. You're not unpacking. You're not allowing God to unpack things in your life and show you who he is and lead you in truth. 1 Corinthians 2:12, that we're given the Holy Spirit so he can reveal the things that are freely given to us by Christ. So, that's just the thought. Like, let's be led in a mystery. Let's follow Christ and be willing to be uncomfortable for him, right? But to be led by him, and then we'll find in the end we'll have satisfaction, truly, right? Substance. So we want substance in our life, don't we? Yeah, we do. The fact that we're hungry means that there is substance there, and Christ is waiting to give it to us. And that's something where we see a true representation of love, we see what it really means and who is giving it to us. And then he calls us deeper and deeper, and he says, yeah, come here, grow here. Be led in this mystery. And it's going to be satisfying, right? You never know. You might not meet, What? You tell me. You might not know where you're going to be, right? 5 months ago, we had no idea where we were going to be in Massachusetts, right? But there we are, and God is faithful. We're in the call of God, and it's amazing. It's a great joy. And to everybody who said you're going to come visit, we're waiting, right? We're still waiting. No, just kidding. No, but really, come visit. Come visit us. We have a great church. Marlboro is an awesome city strategically, and it's like every highway through New England seems to come through Marlboro. I don't know where I am. I'm still figuring that out, but that's what I've come to understand, right? So we have access to a great place in New England. We have fellowship with an amazing church, and you can come see it, okay? Thank you. Amen.
We used to hit golf balls in Africa across the highway. Wasn't it? Or across in front of the hotel at the cows. But when you can't hurt a cow, so don't get upset, okay? A golf ball is not going to hurt this, like, you know, 900-pound bull. It's just not going to happen. So people, that don't write me an email, like, be kind to animals kind of thing. Because it was just having fun, you know? And I remember the first time Eddie Narcisse and Chuck Heidenreich, they wanted to go golfing in Africa, and they came back and they said, the greens are all sand. I said, what did you expect? There's just a hole, and there's nothing there but dirt, you know? And it was a fun way to play golf. You were thankful. 2 Corinthians 9:15, briefly, says, it's a great verse here. Now, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that word unspeakable means it's beyond actually telling with words. It's indescribable. It is so incredible, beyond telling. It's almost like words, it's not possible for words really to bring it out. They have obviously an effect, and they tell us. But Paul said to the Corinthians, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, beyond telling. And you know, an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. Like, see, I'm going to give Sue May this rock. Now watch how she reacts. She loves rocks. This is from China. I just found it today. Isn't that awesome? She's a rock collector. That's a rock from China. And a little thing like that can, like, just make the day. Isn't that true? I don't know. I'm just having fun. But really, thanksgiving and having, as we think about what people are thankful and not thankful for, and what goes on in our world today, it's really important for us to think correctly, so that when we think correctly, we have this incredible attitude about being thankful. And so often we get involved with little things like, you know, how did the birthday party go? Well, I thought I was getting this, or, you know, the tire is low or flat. The job, I thought I was getting a raise and I got a reduction. The weather is not so good and whatnot. And you go on and on with these things. And I understand that they're real and they are there and it takes place. But what I need to do is to have in my mind an understanding of really what I'm thankful for. Am I thankful for the person of Jesus Christ? Amen? Are you thankful for the person of Jesus Christ? For the work of the cross and his mercy? For the body of Christ? For God making you a new person and giving you the Holy Spirit? For having eternal life? For having a message called the gospel? For the faithfulness of God? Aren't you thankful that God loves you? Amen? And, like, rather than, you know, be fellowshipping with all the things, and they can come and they can go. And so my thanksgiving is not based upon these things, but is based upon these foundational truths sourced in the unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift. One time I remember when I was in Uganda, it was 1997, and I went to the post office expecting some mail and some financial help that was supposed to come. And, you know, you open the mailbox, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. You got nothing in your pocket. There's nothing in the pocket. And there's nothing inside the mailbox. And I was sitting in front of the post office in Kampala, just sitting there like brooding like a two-year-old. You know, like, you know, what's going on here? And I just had this, it was not a good attitude, all right? Like, you know, nothing. What's happening? Have I been forgotten? Are we here? And what's going on here? All of a sudden, I heard the song "Amazing Grace." I hear this like song, this kind of off-tune guitar, you know. And I heard two voices singing "Amazing Grace." So I followed the direction of the sound, and I came upon this most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. It was two men with gospel tracts. And they were actually preaching and giving out tracts. One of them was blind and the other one had no legs. And they were a mission team. The guy that was blind carried the guy with no legs, and the guy with no legs was the eyes for the team. I sat there so overwhelmed and so thankful to God, you know, like how God just delivered me out of this attitude of ingratitude about something I was expecting to happen but did not take place. How can these verses be true? The only way they can be true is these foundational truths about thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Hello. In what? In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. How about this verse? Being thankful always, Ephesians 5:20, for all things. Philippians 4:6, thankful all the time. Just being thankful. How can Paul make these statements to people, knowing maybe what they're going through in some of these churches? He can make these statements because they are a people who are thankful for the person of Christ, thankful for the work of the cross, thankful that we have a church, the body of Christ, thankful that I have eternal life, thankful that the Holy Spirit lives in me, thankful that I'm a new person in Christ, thankful that I'm going to live forever, and it's not all about the temporal lifestyle, thankful that God is faithful. When I concentrate on that, and I have this attitude of gratitude towards God, Satan hates Thanksgiving. He hates Thanksgiving. He wants to do everything he can to give me this moaning, groaning attitude, based upon what is taking place or not taking place, on things that really, when you put them in a place compared to those things I just mentioned, they really are very minute, although they control our thinking at times, and the best of us it can happen to. Let's be a people that have incredible thanksgiving based upon these things. How key it is. There's a lot of people having thanksgiving for a lot of reasons tomorrow and this week. I thank God that Pastor Stamboski's here. Wow, thank you, God. Right? Him and I grew up in the same area, the same city, the same state, the same country, the same world. And we're like very right near each other. And I'm thankful for his life. Just so thankful. Thankful. Anybody here ever been thankful for a trial and a test? Yeah. In everything, give thanks. Always, what? In everything, always. Did you hear what happened? I don't care what happened. Thank you, God. Thank you for what has taken place because of who God is. And we just have this. Thank you for the unspeakable gift. I can't even speak about it. It's beyond telling. It's indescribable. It's so precious. It's amazing. And when I focus on these things, and things, one day there's a rainstorm in my life. The next day it's the sunshine. And thank you for the rainstorm. Thank you. No, thank you for everything because of the unspeakable gift. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thinking and thanking. Say that. Thinking correctly and thanking. Thinking and thanking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. That was so good. Let's rehearse in our hearts for a few minutes the two messages. First, love without hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy. The real, like, love from our hearts deeply was so good. Message that was so good. I enjoyed it. That was great. And then second message, being thankful in everything and just being loaded with thanksgiving. So I want to share for a few minutes about being gathered together. Okay, so turn to one verse in 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to have you do something in a minute. But just this one verse, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. By our, that phrase, by our gathering together unto him. Tonight, this is what has come to my mind, that phrase, gathering together. Thanksgiving, we'll go into that a little bit. Okay, so would you all stand with me for a moment and just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so good to see you. And may God bless your Thanksgiving in every way. Okay, cafe cards, you may be seated. How about Nick? Nick and Debbie, you want a cafe card, Nick? Free card, cafe card. There you go. $5 value. Beautiful. Pastor Dave Stambowski, come on up. Would you like one? Wow, you should be up here. Thank you, sir. Good and happy Thanksgiving. So good to see you. How about Dave Siemens over here? Come on up, David. Are you coming from Florida or from Lenox? Lee.
I'm from Pennsylvania. He's from Vermont.
You're from Pennsylvania. I love you. Oh, my. Hey. Look at you guys met together, old friends. Look at you. Look at you. Look at that. They happened to meet in the house of God. How about Pastor Eric Handel and your wife, B? There you go. And, Wes. We miss you, but I don't have any left. Come on up and shake my hand. Come on, what's a $5 value in that? Good to see you. Are you going to Texas?
Yeah.
Yep, he's moving to with Pastor Chris Moore down in Texas. And don't get any ideas. Don't get any ideas. No, we love you. Good to have you. Yeah, beautiful. All right. How many of you, when you were younger, maybe you were unsaved, maybe you were in the military or college, living away from home, and you just said, I got to go home for Thanksgiving and see my mom? How many of you? Cold people. Cold people. Let me say it over again. You're all like, huh? What? What? How many of you have crossed an ocean, or the country, or hitchhiked, or caught the back of a train, or flew in a plane, you went to see a loved one at Thanksgiving? Cold-hearted people. Tough crowd here tonight. Tough crowd. Okay. Do you know, it says here, are gathering together unto him, and it's referring to the rapture. We will be gathered unto Christ one day. On this earth, when God made Adam and Eve, they were together, and they actually enjoyed being together. It's hard to believe, I know, but they did. And so do we. Even before, not even talking about Christians, but people that are in the world, we are wired for our family. We are wired to be together. We want to go see somebody. We want to see them. We want to look at them. We want to be refreshed by their presence. Hitchhiking, I remember that from Bible college, going home, driving through the night, and I think you all can identify. Gathering together, a family gathering together, friends gathering together. Sometimes the gathering together is for a happy event, like the holidays. Thanksgiving is, according to the statistics, the second most popular holiday in America. Christmas is number one. People travel a lot of miles eat a lot of turkey. Actually, I got the numbers on a paper over here of the millions of pounds of turkey that people eat on that, American people eat on that day. Okay, gathering together. We'll do it. One time in Moscow, I was there Thanksgiving, and I don't remember the details, but Pastor Sherm and Millie Stevens were living in Moscow as missionaries. And I happened to be there on that day, and we sat in their little apartment. We set up, they said, we're going to have Thanksgiving. And me, being a fellow American, knew what that meant. And we were excited about it. They got a little card table out. But because in Russia there wasn't any turkey at that time, maybe there isn't at this time either, but they got a chicken. And we had a meal there. And I got to say, it was one of the great Thanksgiving times that I had. And we celebrated. Because we have the presence of Christ in our life, like Pastor Bailey said, a real love, deep love in our hearts. When we gather together, we have when Jesus in Mark chapter 3 was preaching, and they came to him and said, your mother and brothers and sisters are here. And that would be a very important thing in a Jewish family, that the family is here. And then he said those profound words, who is my mother, my brothers, and my sisters? They that hear the word of God and they keep it. That makes us a family. For the presence of God has gathered us together. And we are able to hear him. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 with me and read these few verses about Paul. Chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord, and I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. It seems that Paul had something going on with Titus. If he could meet Titus, it would mean a lot to him. And I think that is how we operate. Look at chapter 7. He says it a different way here. He says, verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, he has found a truth. It means when Titus came, I was refreshed. When we meet each other in the faith, when you are in the faith, like it happens with us, we are refreshed. We want to come to the convention in June. We come to services weekly. We meet each other in the walk of faith. By the way, if you don't have a Thanksgiving tomorrow dinner or an invitation, maybe if you meet here at 8 o'clock in the morning, go with Pastor Dan. You might end up in some home tomorrow afternoon. I don't know. But or give Pastor Jason a call. Maybe he could help you. I think we gave out, I don't want to go into it, but we help people with the Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. So, okay. Seeing Titus, gathering together, the Christian life, gathering together, seeing Titus, being refreshed. There was a gathering in Nehemiah chapter 8 when they gathered and they listened to the word, and they had the joy of the Lord was their strength. You know the feeling. I've had it. I've got lonely, withdrew. I wasn't so active in the ministry. I could be by myself for long periods of time. I had like a little bit of a judgmental spirit or attitude, staying away from people. Maybe because I felt awkward. Maybe because I had been hurt by people. Maybe the feelings of rejection are just part of your soul and the way you are in your personality or your temperament. Being by yourself cannot compare, in what I want to say tonight, what we're saying, to being gathered together. We said there could be a wedding, we gather together. A birth of a baby, gather together. The Thanksgiving holiday, gather together. A church service, gather together. And then sadly, a face-to-face service, and we gather together. We weep together. We rejoice together. We see each other. We hear the stories. We are refreshed together. Yeah, it's very important part of our life. And then one day, there'll be a great gathering together in the heavens. And just think about it. All the believers through history, profound, amazing. All the dead bodies of all the saints through the centuries, raised up, ascended into heaven, meeting in the heavens, where Christ will meet us in the great gathering together. Now we have like mini gatherings, and they are precious to us. But I know, like we all know, we have a family and maybe it's a little bit dysfunctional. Maybe somebody's going to get angry and throw the potatoes across the room. Pastor Love tells that story. It really happened. And I know, and maybe somebody's angry and runs off in a huff or something. And that happens in life. We all have, we understand how. But there is a gathering that is an amazing one. There is a gathering that we have many of them on this side. Right now, we have many of them where we gather and we are just thankful. And we gather. And then it says about, listen to this, Abraham died, and it says in Genesis 25, verse 6, he was gathered unto his people. Abraham had people? I thought he was the first Jew. Oh, no. Noah was before him. There was Adam and Eve that went before him. Abraham was gathered unto his people. And Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a table. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob sitting at a table. And they will come from the east and the west and be gathered onto that table. And that's really a beautiful picture of what we are made for. That we are made for spiritual engagement. We are made for a divine purpose. We're made for a heavenly Father to be in the presence of his people. We're made to be a family that gathers together in a holy convocation. We are made to hear and obey and have the adventure of faith in our spirit and in our hearts. I remember our first Christmas, Lisa and I married. We got married in July, and December 25th, do you know where I was? I was on a ship in a harbor in the Soviet Union, detained. We're smuggling literature into the Soviet Union. For my dear wife had sewed 247 pieces of literature in my coat, in my winter coat. And I went by over the Finland, the Bay of Finland from Helsinki, 50 miles with Pastor Ben. And I was coming through customs, and I was walking like this. I was so weighed down. I had six Bibles around my waist, underneath my... My new wife, was back home in Finland praying for me. And the customs agent said, come here. And so I did, and he said, follow me. So we went into the back room, and he said, take your coat off. So I did, and he took it, and it went right down to the floor. And he looks at me like this, and he puts it on the table. And he goes to my sweater, you know, goes, lift this up. So lift it up, and there's the Bibles right there. Then to the pants, pull up the pants. Inside my boots, I had literature in my boots. So he went and got his friends, the customs officials. They came in, they're all talking, and I'm a bad guy, and the whole thing. They put a number around my neck, true story. They take a picture of me, and the profile was perfect. Perfect profile of the number. I went in the records. I was told I would never come back into the country again, and on it goes. But that, just think about my wife. Isn't that beautiful? She wanted me to be arrested. You know, get rid of him. Get rid of him. No, see. Yeah, that was amazing. Pastor Ben made it through. And so they took me, and they confiscated the coat. They took me back to the ship. And I was there. But I got to say, that Christmas was an awesome one. I don't know. I'd rather be in God's will, right, than have it my way. Isn't that beautiful? I know you understand what I mean. I'd rather be with God's people and God's purpose and God's work. It's a joy. It's an adventure. It's a life of faith. It's our gathering together in what he's doing. And so that's it for that. Okay, let's finish. They were gathered together in Nehemiah. Oh, when they came out of Egypt, they were on the other side of the Red Sea, gathered together. And I'm sure they're looking at each other like this, like, what happened? Can you believe it? The Egyptians are floating dead in the sea. It actually says that. Their bodies were washed up on the shore. How did it happen? What happened? Well, they were gathered. That's an amazing gathering. And then when Jesus came and they gathered around him, that's an amazing gathering. And Christ is saying, there is a greater one that is coming. The gathering of all my people up in the heavens. I mean, they are there now in spirit and soul and with their temporary body, but their mortal body will be raised up by his power and will be gathered together. Well, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Many families are gathered together, and we want it, and we love it, and we enjoy it, and it's a beautiful thing. And maybe Titus comes, and we are refreshed, and we hear good stories, and we have a hearty attitude, and we laugh and love and reassure each other in our attitude of kindness and love and encouragement. We reach out to some of our people that maybe struggle and just say, it's okay, rest here with me a while, because we have a restful spirit, an encouraging spirit, and words of wisdom and faith. Let's go together to the house of God and be gathered there and hear what God has to say to us. Have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. May God bless you. See you here on Sunday. God bless you. And we'll go into the Christmas days with a great message and a great attitude and great love, because people need this love. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me? If you're here today, would you say to Jesus, tonight, I want to belong to that gathering. I want to be part of it. I want Jesus in my life. I want Christ to save me. I want all my sins washed away. I want my name put in the book of life. I want the Holy Spirit to be my teacher. I want God to be my guide. I want to be encouraged in the depths of my spirit. I want a love that is without hypocrisy. I want it like a river flowing out of my belly. I want to learn to be forgiving. Learn, maybe some need to be learned. We learn to be quiet. We learn to be fervent. We learn to have divine purpose. We learn to live by faith. We learn to move on in the plan of God. We learn to turn a new leaf, turn a new page, enter into a new chapter, go forward with a divine guidance. We want to be spirit-filled in these difficult days and have a ministry to our hurting nation and bind up the wounds and reach out to people and share a message. May Pastor David's church, Stomboski's church, multiply, be blessed, be filled, be encouraged. May Pastor Eric's church, John Perkins, Don Barnes, Jack Wheatley, Chris McFarland, Ken Fires, Dan Foster, Jeff Brunty, Kevin Lewis, James Stadidis, Peter Sheff, Wally White, Mark Benoit, Pastor Bailey Norman, Paul Paradis, Don Benoit, Gary Witt, and on it goes, Lord David Moore. There's so many that we love, Pastor Wright, Pastor Shibley, Lord. And on, Lord, and around the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. You said the prayer to accept Jesus. Would you raise your hand, please, in the auditorium? Anyone at all, just raise your hand. So yes to Jesus, anyone, just raise your hand. Father, keep us on the roads. Keep us in our purposes. Heal us of cancers. Heal us of discouragement. Bless our finances. Answer our deep prayers. Bless the prodigal sons and daughters that are out in the highways and byways and bring them home and work deeply in their hearts and show them the way. Give them a dream. Convict them of their sin. Guide them in a new walk. Revive them. Turn them. Pour your spirit out upon them. Use us, our gathering together as a family. We love one another, forgive one another, give mercy to each other, are very kind to each other, and learning how to think with you. Help us, Lord, in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.